Hey, everybody, this is Brad Williams, and I am the pastor of B4 Church. Welcome to our podcast. My prayer is that this would help you behold God, that you would see him for who he is, that you would belong to community, that you would be everything that you were created to be, and that you would be able to dream beyond the limitations in your life. So I hope you enjoy this teaching, and we look forward to seeing you in person soon.
Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to the B4 podcast. My name is Alex, and I'm one of the hosts.
And I'm Ashley, and I'm your other host.
Ashley, what are we talking about today?
Well, if you were in church on Sunday, you will know that we did something called Fall Lunch. And the topic of the sermon had to do with flourishing and getting back in rhythms and all kinds of things. And I think there's kind of like two times in life, like seasons, where we do that. And that's like back to school time and the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And it's back to school time. So
that's
I figured we could spend some time talking about that.
I think that's a great
idea.
People
are thinking about it.
I think it's on our minds right now.
Yes.
Also with so many unknown variables, like
very true.
Are we going to continue to be able to be in person for school?
Yes.
Or all of the a million things that we've been thinking about now for getting
year
close to 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the clock's been ticking. The question, how do we flourish in such an environment is, it's been on the tip of, you know, top of our minds. And it continues to need to be because things continue to get kind of crazy.
They do. And even if the world weren't crazy, everybody has things within their own lives that are crazy of new jobs or having kids or kids going to college or whatever. So regardless of what's going on in the world, that definitely impacts it. But even if things were so-called normal, we would still, it's an important conversation nonetheless and one that we have to have on a fairly regular basis.
I think we can agree. Jesus is interested in human flourishing.
Oh, yes. I think so.
I think that, but
no
I think
contest.
It's interesting because I say that and it's like, yeah, we agree about it, but I'm not sure that in general, that's an idea that most people think about when they hear about Christianity.
No, because I think most people would think that it's a lot of do's or don'ts and requirements instead of, you know, God created our world. Jesus redeems our world. And so the goal is that we would have a life that fits most closely to how we were created.
Yeah. I would hope that in my lifetime, at least the people that I interact with, they would come away with an understanding of Jesus, that he is for them and for their flourishing. That doesn't mean he's for them having a, you know, seven-figure bank account necessarily.
That's different.
That's
flourishing
a completely different
is different
conversation.
Than filthy rich.
Absolutely. So when we talk about human flourishing then, if it is different than prosperity, lack of pain, what is it then?
Oh, that's a good question. I think, for me, I think that's one of the things that I have kind of been learning the last couple of years of like, I think as a child, it was easy to think that me flourishing means I'm doing well. I am a good girl. Things are going well with me.
Yeah.
And recognizing, looking at the Bible, looking at church history, looking at other people's lives and my lives, it's not, God doesn't guarantee us an easy life. And God's ways and like ideas about how we should live and rhythms we should have in our lives doesn't mean it's going to be easy.
Yeah.
But it does mean that we kind of have the best possible outcome for each particular season that we're in as far as being emotionally and spiritually and physically healthy.
Yeah.
I think it's more health than it is success.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think, and you know, Brad talks about the idea of shalom a lot. And in the Bible, shalom does mean peace, but it's a more of a wholeness is a really good English translation of that word in the sense that we are fractured and splintered kind of people. And
we do that to ourselves often too.
We do. Part of it is the nature that we've inherited. It's the sinful world that we live in. And Jesus is interested in putting us back together again and making us whole. And, you know, the result of that is flourishing in our personhood, right? And in our communities. It doesn't necessarily mean our circumstances are all going to be awesome.
Right.
In some instances, it does mean that our circumstances will improve.
Yes.
It's interesting how that all works. But there's an old hymn that we sing all the time, "It Is Well, It Is Well with My Soul." And it's interesting because, what's his name, like Longfellow or something along those lines?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
We'll have to look it up. But
it's not Longfellow. It's like Henry Longfellow. It's a different person.
I don't know. He's got an interesting name, but he writes it because he's like wrestling with his circumstances. He's just lost his entire family.
Yes, in a shipwreck.
In a shipwreck. But he's talking about this strange dichotomy that his circumstances are awful, mm-hmm. and yet the presence of God in his life has allowed his soul to continue to be well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're after here. It's not yes. necessarily that we're going to rearrange our circumstances in a way that are favorable all the time,
right?
But that we would be inflappable in our soul, or if we are broken, we would know who goes and makes us heal, right? Which is Jesus. So it is all encompassing. You use the terms emotional, physical, and spiritual. And while it's all encompassing, it's also, I guess, important then to kind of break those things down and talk mm-hmm. about, like, what does it look like to be emotionally, physically, or spiritually healthy?
Mm-hmm. And all three of those things are things that God actually does want for us. Like, he cares about our bodies. Like, we talked when Brad did the soul care series a couple years ago, where they had the circle of, like, this is your soul, and it actually includes your body and your mind and your emotions and all of that, that God cares about all of those things. And so we're responsible as stewards of our souls, of trying our best to keep them healthy and finding rhythms and practices that can help us to do that.
I read a really interesting book a little while ago by James Nestor, and it's called Breathe. It's about breathing. Go figure.
Sounds boring, but...
Yeah, I know. It sounds
entire
boring.
Entire book on breathing. Something I do naturally.
But like, right. But it's all about the effects that breathing has on our health and how more often than not, we all breathe incorrectly. And there's negative health consequences for it. I'll tell you why I'm talking about this. He has a whole section on prayer and breath. And it's very interesting if you look at the cadence of the Lord's Prayer and actually follow the cadence of it with your breath. It's somewhere between like 7.5 seconds of saying the Lord's Prayer, breathing in slowly, breathing out each line by line. It actually physically changes your body and it allows your immune system to work. It's actually physically healing. So why I bring all of this up is because we're talking about the intricacy of the connection between physical, spiritual, emotional, all these pieces of who we are. They're intertwined. Like it's a physical act to breathe, but somehow it begins to heal our body. And at the same time, as we are praying and breathing through these moments, it's also changing something in the spiritual world for us. So yes, they're different and we should look at them that way, but they are so intricately connected that they have to be.
And I think the last year has been a good lesson for all of us that that's the case of like, we might have been doing the same mental work within our homes, but us physically being in a different location has an impact on our emotions and on our spiritual life. And maybe we're connecting with the same people, but we're doing it in different ways. And so again, it just is a good example of like, oh, as we've maybe things about our physical reality have changed, that's impacted our emotional, mental, and spiritual health. So it's a good time to be thinking about what does it look like to create healthy rhythms, whether we are free of COVID or whether we continue to be trapped by it.
Yeah. Epstein, who writes the book Range, which is one of my all-time favorite books ever, he warns that when we approach topics like this, we need to be careful not to be myopic. In essence, like it's a myopia is a technical like diagnosis where you have tunnel vision. You can't actually see. But when we look at any particular issue we want to address in our life, we have to be careful not to address it as if it isn't connected to other things. This is going to be controversial, but I think this is one of our big problems in our world today. We try to solve one thing without thinking that that thing is intricately connected to something else. The same is true for our spiritual life in Jesus. The same is true for our relationships. They are all connected. And so flourishing, yes, it is about looking at all of these things and finding a way to see how they complement each other. So how do you stay emotionally healthy? How do you flourish in an emotionally healthy way?
That's a great question. I'm going to turn around and ask you that question first because you are the one that just got back from a sabbatical. So, or not a sabbatical, but your paternity leave.
Yeah, we have to differentiate between those two.
Yeah, you haven't had a sabbatical yet.
No, and you know, a newborn definitely doesn't create the same atmosphere.
Not the same, but
for sure.
You've had some time to kind of focus and think about that. So I'd be curious to know your thoughts before I give my
Thank you. And you're right. The point of family leave or paternity leave is for my family to adjust to a new rhythm and to ask all of these questions and to try to figure out how do we flourish and thrive as a family of six which is crazy, moving forward. And so, yeah, I've thought about these a lot. For me emotionally, I have a great therapist.
Me too.
Yeah.
Not the same one.
No, it's so important. And yeah. I know there's a taboo, especially in the Christian world, but my therapist loves Jesus deeply. And it's a place that's safe for me to process. Mm-hmm. And he helps me understand what I'm trying to communicate and articulate. And that's been huge for me. That's one of many things. But from an emotional health standpoint, I have somebody that helps, like a doctor would help with my physical body. I have somebody mm-hmm. who helps with my emotional self as well. Mm-hmm. So that's one. I could list a bunch more, but that's one.
Yeah. I think I was already in the process of trying to make some nice rhythms before COVID, as far as I had a very lovely morning routine I was exercising on a regular basis and doing some different spiritual practices of yeah. scripture reading and some meditation, that kind of thing, mindfulness. That was really helpful. And I think what I saw during like being quarantined was those things actually kind of kept me from going crazy, because they were, yeah. it was the thing that I could consistently do. It was one rhythm that I could kind of hold on to. And even though when I did them changed, or maybe I added or subtracted some things at different points, having some sort of, just having consistency, I think is a nice thing for me, or at least making sure I consistently have time where I'm working on my emotional health. Mm-hmm. So whether that is, I mean, part of that is going and seeing a counselor or therapist. Some of that is making sure that I'm getting outside and just like not, yeah. you know, being in nature, breathing fresh air, remembering that there's a world outside my home or my work or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think, and spiritual practices as well, and continually tweaking those too, of yeah. recognizing that eventually you have to freshen up those routines. Mm-hmm. You still want to have a routine, but you have to keep the routine fresh, because yeah. otherwise it just becomes route.
I think it's route. I don't know. One of those. It's one of those, whatever.
Someone is yelling at their screen, like, yeah, their radio right now.
Right. They're like, I know the word and you don't. Radio. That dated you, by the way.
Sorry.
I know. Speakers. Do people even listen to those anymore?
Well, I listen to podcasts on my radio in my car.
Yeah, okay.
The speakers. Whatever. Anyway.
Anyways, you are about to have a major change in your life.
That is. Well, I already kind of have in some ways.
Yeah. You're expecting a baby.
Yes.
And how far along are you?
February. As of when this podcast comes out, I think I'll be like 18 weeks or wow. 19 weeks or something.
Congratulations.
Yes. So that's so exciting. Amazing. But that even has been, yes, we do not yet have yeah. the child, right. but my morning routine for the last 3 months
yeah.
has been very much
knocked
off kilter.
There's the reason why they call it morning sickness.
Yes, there yeah. is. And so that has been another thing of having to figure out how to adjust. Yeah. Again, like the exercise has kind of died in sure. the morning, sure. at least, sure. but making sure that that's still part of things and yeah. figuring out how to, so that I don't come to work at, you know, noon by the time I'm feeling normal. But yeah, yeah, that's kind of been a process of, that's yeah. been a, oh, I need to reevaluate things and figure mm-hmm. out what actually is essential for this season, what yeah. needs to go and what needs to stay. And obviously that'll happen again
yeah.
when child comes.
Absolutely.
Different set of things. It'll probably look different again. So
yeah.
constant process.
Let me come from your future. Yes, it does. And it continues to. One of the biggest questions you will ask yourself, or anybody will be, what can I do and what doesn't fit anymore?
Yeah.
And it's for a season, and you know, we're in a particularly intense season of four little humans under six and under. And you know, my days look very different than they used to. Yeah. My days are really not my own anymore. You know, I have very small windows of time where they are, but you know, my alarm goes off sometimes before 6 a.m. and my day keeps moving until 11 p.m. you know, right. at least. And then many checkups in the middle of the night just because, yes. right? So I had to make some realizations that there were a lot less that I could do than I wanted to do
yeah.
if we were going to flourish as a family. Some things were going to have to change. But one of the biggest things, and I'll encourage you on this, is if you don't care for you, mm-hmm. you can't care for anyone else.
Right.
And self-care is such a buzzword now, but it's essential. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't love going to the gym at 6 a.m., But I know if I don't, then I'm a waste of space for all of you when I come to work, but also for my family when I'm at home. So it's stuff like that that I have told myself, this is why I'm doing it, for my physical health, so that I can flourish, so that others around me can as well.
Yeah.
And those are hard decisions everybody has to make. And I don't like working out in the morning.
Yeah, no.
That's not my thing, but I do it, you know. Principle applies to Bible reading too. I had to change my expectations for it. We talked about this in a podcast.
At some point, yeah.
Way back. And I think Brad and I were talking about how long before kids and even before I was married, I would read ridiculous amounts of the Bible at one time.
Because you're nerd that way.
My life is just different. I pray probably more than I ever have. I think about the gospel and Jesus all the time. And I have to read far less than I used to. And that's okay. Some of you who are listening to this need to hear, that's okay. Now, that isn't an excuse to not.
Right.
But you still have to be engaged. Yes.
Yeah. And I, even if you, even, you know, kids is not the only rhythm disrupting thing.
Of course
and
not.
I think it's that constant. It's like you never figure it out where it doesn't change. Right. Something is going to move in your schedule or in your life or in your body right. or whatever, where you have to rethink that.
Yep.
The other thing I was thinking about when you were talking about self-care, I think when I hear that term, sometimes I think about like, okay, self-care is like sitting in my bubble bath for an hour a week or having time for meditation, yeah. where I think a lot of times we think of self-care as a very individual pursuit. Mm. But the truth is that we're actually relational beings.
Mm-hmm.
So having space and time for community is also actually a really essential part of self-care
yeah,
that I think we've suffered from in the last year and a half with COVID yeah. and the disruptions yeah. to that.
Yeah, there was we used to talk about people in our bubbles, you know, when this pandemic started. Who are the people in your bubble? The safe people, the people that are not, you know, out licking toilet seats and getting COVID wherever they are, you know? I don't know.
I hope those people don't exist,
that's
actually.
What, there is somebody I know who says that frequently about people that he doesn't feel are safe, is that they're out licking toilet seats. And I'm like, all right, that's pretty graphic, but whatever. But I would encourage you to find those people, have those conversations if you're listening to this, because yes, it's vital. It's important. Like one other addition to all of this is friendships for me.
Mm-hmm.
Having people that I can go be with has been so important. And again, this is myopia focusing in when we're so focused on not catching a virus that we have completely drowned out every other aspect of health mm-hmm. from an emotional standpoint. We put ourselves and our immune systems in a greater danger. Right? Because
yeah.
we know that stress and depression, all these things that are associated with isolation actually make you more conducive to being sick or ill. Again, we're connected.
Yeah.
So, you know, developing those safe relationships in a time where COVID is spiking and things feel scary, it's so important to find those people. And I know if you don't have those people right now, thinking about finding them can be really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say like, I know it can be hard and scary and you just have to kind of do it, you know, like
yeah.
got to kind of put yourself out there a little bit. And I'm not trying to tell you to be irresponsible, but you know, please don't think that you can undervalue one aspect of your health without it ruining
mm-hmm.
or putting the rest of your health in jeopardy.
Well,
does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons why for our staff or like our congregation, fall launch is such a big deal. If it's like, hey, right. these are some really easy entryways into either finding community for the first time or reconnecting.
Mm-hmm.
And you can like the goal of this, the goal of fall launch, the goal of this podcast, the goal of our church is not that you would sign up for every single group, course
right.
and event and be here every night of the week. That is not self-care either.
Yeah. Right.
I don't even want to do that.
No.
You should not do that either. But it is to help you find at least one, like the challenge maybe is do one thing
yep.
to connect to community. And that can be something here at B4. We have some ideas of what that could be. You could check
right.
out our website for those kinds of things, but it could also mm-hmm. just be like connect with your neighbor next door and
mm-hmm.
commit to having a conversation with
yeah.
them once a week or something. Like the important thing is finding that community and finding those people.
Mm-hmm.
We have tools here to help you do that,
yeah.
but it's not like we have the best way. There's the only way. No,
yeah.
it's like just find some people and
yeah.
make sure that you're connected and have people supporting you.
Yeah. Rodney Stark wrote The Rise of Christianity, and there's a significant portion dedicated to pandemics and epidemics as being one of the reasons why Christianity went from essentially a very small group of people in the Roman Empire to what it is today, billions upon billions of people 2,000 years later, which is interesting to say that it's pandemics that actually fostered the spread of Christianity. But the reason why was while the rest of the world had pandemics raging around them, for some reason, the Christian communities had the fewest cases and cared for the most vulnerable all at the same time. They didn't really understand why, because they were, in essence, they were supposed to be the most vulnerable if they're caring for the people nobody wants to care for. And they don't understand germs. This is a long time ago, right? They don't have masks. But again, there was something about, and this is what Rodney Stark recalls, and he quotes some historical figures, something about the way that these communities loved one another and their hopeful outlook in hopeless situations that allowed them to be healthier than the people around them. Mm-hmm. We have such a hard time with this stuff. We think it sounds like Harry Potter magic. Like, but it's the same things that have been true for thousands of years are still true today. And we're so afraid to put some of this stuff into practice. And again, please don't take me as like your epidemiologist or your doctor, but please do think hard and critically about some of these things on a much broader and less myopic level, because we want you to flourish. Mm-hmm. Going into the school year, as a family, we have two kids homeschooling and two very little human beings wanting to interrupt homeschooling at all times. So we've thought a lot about some of the aspects of like, how do we go and prepare for this season and share a couple of my thoughts. Okay. A couple tips.
Do it.
My wife and I share a calendar.
That's helpful.
She's way better at it than I am.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
No. but I couldn't make it through a day without our shared calendar. Mm-hmm. We've changed the colors. Like my thing is blue and her thing is purple. Basically, I know what she's added and she knows what I've added, but it's essential. She has my calendar at all times. She knows where I am. She knows what meetings I'm in. She knows where I'm going. And I know what doctor appointment she's at and where. It has helped our communication tenfold. Mm-hmm. And with all sorts of new things, and we have three kids in dance. We've got two kids homes. Like, there's a lot going on. It's one of the most important things. So I would just encourage you, if you're listening to this, do it. Because that's a very simple, tangible, practical step. And once you do, you can see the windows of time that you have to pray, the windows of time you have to work out, the windows of time you have to take a breath, to rest, the days you might have to Sabbath or to hang out with friends. But if life just happens without you thinking about how it's going to happen, it's going to be overwhelming for you. So that's my one major tip.
Yeah, I think and even like that is pretty specific to your family. So like if you were a single person, you sharing a calendar with who?
No, but you might need to keep
you
one.
And I think that when I'm thinking about my own life, the things that have been particularly helpful have been, one of them is just structure of having, like I have this lovely planner I think I've talked about on here before. It's called Sacred Ordinary Days. It goes around the liturgical calendar. But every Monday, I have the same routine of I look at my phone calendar. I actually physically write out all the appointments that I have for work or whatever else. And then like every day, that's a reminder of, okay, this is what this day is. It's a little nicer than my just looking at my Google calendar. And it also is a reminder at the beginning of the week of all the things that I have coming. But it also, this planner includes an examine page. So every Monday I go through that. That is, you think back to the prior week and kind of write down like, here's my review of the week. Here's how I think things went. And then you also, there's like one column for that. And there's different aspects like your body and your spirit and your mind and home and work and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, there's a like reset. So what would you like to improve on, or what things do you think need to be changed for the coming week? And I think just that process of like the structure is very helpful, but just the process of processing my life, I found makes a big difference. Because even when I've been sick and I haven't made it through like looking at my priorities for the day, which is also part of the calendar, I've at least continued to do the examine where it's like, okay, like this is actually just of thinking through the last week. Okay, like this went pretty well. This could be better. And going into the next week with intention. So structure, intentionality are things that I think are really helpful.
For me, a lot of what you just said sounds awful.
I thought yours sounded awful too. So I'm glad we're on the same page.
No, just I'm the kind of person that needs a little spontaneity in my life.
Yeah.
I do need routine and structure for me to be healthy. I know that. I'm aware of that. But the thought of doing something like that for me, it but again, that's okay.
Yeah, that's
you
a point.
You got to figure out what
you
works
figure
for
out what
you.
Structure looks that's like right. for you. For me, that's it's right. going to be more organized and logical right. and whatever because I'm more organized right. and logical and whatever. Yours is going to be a little more right. spontaneous.
Yeah.
That's how your personality is.
But part of what we share in common and what I think everybody here shares in common is we're clear on our values.
Yeah.
And people need to be clear on their values. So I have a value of being in physically the best shape that I can be in, not just for me, but for my family around me, mm-hmm. right? And that value then plays out on my calendar, mm-hmm. right? It plays out on my normal weekly rhythms and what I eat and don't eat, whatever. The way you may share that value, but the way you go about pursuing that value is going to look different than me, and that's okay. I don't love the calendar. It's the whole process of it and everything. I love looking at it once my wife has updated it, but I don't love the process of it. However, no. I love my family.
Yes.
And to love them well, which is one of my high values, I need to be able to do that, right? To love you guys well and to serve you well here on this team, I need to be able to keep a schedule, right?
Yeah.
So at the same time, I know myself well enough to know that I have to have small windows of time that I can be spontaneous, that I can do something. So it's not do it Ashley's way or do it Alex's way.
Yes.
It's really being clear on what your values are. And there's some that are shared and some that might be unique and specific to you.
Yeah.
And that's great. But then figuring out how you work, self-awareness to some level, to be able to thrive and to help other people flourish in the process.
Yeah, that's where like the exam page is really helpful for me because it makes me more self-aware of like where I'm at. Sometimes it's not until I'm writing stuff down that I realize like, I actually was really stressed out last week, but I did not realize it until I wrote down all of these things.
Yeah.
Like, how do we keep that from happening again?
Yeah.
So it definitely is about figuring out every person is unique and beautiful and God has made us that way. And so it's figuring
sunshine,
out what
and
things,
rainbows. Yeah.
Yes, but figuring out what things work for individuals. And it, regardless of what that looks like for you, you're going to have an element of something structured that you're building upon. You're going to need values. You're going to need to figure out your time.
Right.
You're going to need spontaneous time too.
Right.
And you're going to need community and people to help keep you accountable.
That's right.
Which in your case is a lot, your family.
Yeah.
You and your wife sharing the calendar.
A few close friends, my family. And I mean, that's kind of for me. I'm self-motivated in a lot of these things.
Yeah.
So that's part of it too. Like, I'm competitive, but not with you. I'm competitive with me.
Yeah.
You know, like I want to be better than I was yesterday.
Yes.
And that's just, it's an internal driver. You may have a different internal driver and that's okay. But being in tune with what drives you, what keeps you passionate and excited is so important. Because if you're in tune with that, then you can be in control of that. You're not reactive to everything that's happening around you. So just some things to think about. And you already mentioned fall launch, which is why we're having this conversation kind of in the first place. But the reason why we haven't talked about the programming of this event is because all of it is to point towards what we're talking about now, which is beyond just coming to an event. Your life in Jesus is so much more than that. It's every aspect of your life. And Jesus's desire for you, for the community around us, is for flourishing.
Yes. And the things that are actually happening, the courses and groups that are starting, the events that are taking place, all of those are simply tools that we want to offer to you as like, hey, if you need some accountability to help you study the Bible, guess what? We have a course that's doing a Bible study and you should sign up for that and be a part of it.
We have a group that works out here on Fridays.
Yeah. If you need to work on that body part.
Yeah. If you're looking for a safe community of people to begin a journey of health and fitness, like what a great spot. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, we have a group that meets here, I think, on Friday mornings by a professional trainer who leads it for free. You're probably not going to walk away from one class and be like, you know, an Olympian, but it's a step towards
it's
your
tool.
Journey of health. Yes, exactly.
One more tool in the toolbox.
So if I could say one last thing, and then we'll wrap up this kind of all over conversation, is if you're listening to this and you feel bad, right? You feel, whoa, like I'm not doing enough. I'm not. Yeah. We want to remind you that Jesus is not after your shame or your guilt, right? This is about hope. Mm-hmm. And we want to give you something practical, which is one step at a time. Yes. You do not have to make leaps and bounds in 1 week. Take baby steps towards
each of
these
things. Don't try to redo your entire schedule for September to be 100% different than what it was like in August.
That's right. We try one thing. So if you want to increase the amount of time you spend in the Word, don't try to read Genesis through Leviticus in a week.
No, you know? Don't do that. Maybe, you'll regret that decision.
Maybe read parts of the Gospel of Matthew slowly and think about them over months, a period of time. You will get more out of that than you will if you just try to pound. You know, if you're trying to maybe lose weight or become more athletic or whatever it is, don't try to do 50 pull-ups in the first day. Right?
That will be discouraging.
You will be hurt.
Yes, you'll be very sore and you will not come back the next day.
Don't, and take it from experience, don't try to run a half marathon without training for it.
Oh.
Years later, I'm paying for that still. Like, baby steps, work your way to them, you know. That is okay. Jesus is not disappointed in you. He's not angry with you. He wants you to flourish and he knows that it's going to take time.
Yes. So Jesus is very patient.
Absolutely.
And he is very okay with one step at a time.
Right.
So if you, after listening to this, there's something that maybe you saw this past weekend that you want to get involved in, or maybe you weren't able to make it this past weekend and you want to see what tools we have available as far as groups, courses, events, all of the things, we will have links to those things in the show notes. And you can just generally check out b4church.org, check under events, check under groups and courses, and you'll be able to see all the major things that are coming up. Additionally, one great way, maybe your thing, is that you want to serve.
Yeah.
That's always a great option too, and a good place to start if you're looking to meet people, or like Alex's example, you know, it was those who were serving the sick that often felt the best.
Yep.
So that's also, we'll have a link to that page as well. I would encourage you to try that out if you're just looking to get connected. But anything else, Alex?
No, it's so good to be back. So excited. This is episode number 2 that I'm recording.
It is.
And we continue to kind of find our way forward. And we'll hope to have some more exciting conversations to come. If you guys have any questions, thoughts, ideas, there's a email address you can send to us.
It's podcast@b4church.org.
That's right.
That's podcast plural. And it's always in the show notes too. So
that's right. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah. We would
love to share your thoughts, your ideas, your questions. If you want an episode, let us know.
Yes, we are still planning the content calendar for the next couple of months. So we are open to ideas. If you enjoyed today's episode, we would encourage you to share it with someone. That's one of the best ways that we get new listeners to our podcast. And it's also just a fun way to share something that hopefully you enjoyed with a friend. If you want to make sure you never miss an episode of the B4 podcast, you can make sure you are subscribed on iTunes or Spotify. And then the episodes just drop in every week. Not only do you get this conversational podcast on Tuesdays, but you also get our Sunday weekly teachings that will drop in on Mondays and our weekly liturgy podcast that comes in every Thursday. We hope to see you guys next week.